I want us to see the first slide. I want you to see the empty slide for me. Slide number 3, empty. Oh, wow, wow, wow. I was there in Israel with my wife in 2007. Oh, what an experience. See the empty. Your life will never be the same again. In fact, my life changed dramatically. Even though I had known the Lord, I'd served the Lord so many years, but just there and to. And the reality hits me. Realize that Jesus is not dead, he's alive. Hallelujah. 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 Because on that first Easter Sunday morning, the gospel Pastor Jeanette read from Matthew, John 20. I want us to just backtrack. Because I was sharing with Pastor Ben during the week, I said, I sense in my heart in this, what so many people call the COVID season, many Christians' faith is being tossed to. I sense that in my heart. I don't know whether I'm speaking to anyone this morning about your faith being tossed to and fro. But I want you to know this morning that there is a God who sees. It's a God who hears what's going on. There's a God who speaks. We have a God who has spoken to us. And we have a God who sees. And so I was sharing with Pastor Ben earlier this week. I said, I want to just take the church for a few brief moments, the time that I have. Need to take another look at this beautiful message of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Because that's the centrality of the Christian faith, is the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. That's the message. Hallelujah. And I want us to just briefly go through there this morning, and then second of all, I'd like us to, in doing so, I pray that we will reach that place in our hearts this morning where if our faith in this COVID season has been shaken, I pray that your faith will be renewed this morning. I pray that your faith will be steadfast. Your faith will not waver. And so that's what I'd like to do this morning as you participate with me, the presence of the Lord. And finally, in this period where we're able to reaffirm our deep convictions about who we are as God's people and God's vessels. Amen. Reaffirm your conviction and you know, we are living in an age where the Christian faith has been attacked left, right, and center. You know this. I don't have to tell you that. You know it. And so what do we do? What's our response? Well, I hope by the end of my sharing this morning, you will know what to do. God will deposit something in your heart. Because it has to be God who will deposit that in your heart, so you will know what to do, how to stand in this, what we call our new normal these days. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're in the house of the Lord this morning on this day? Hallelujah. John's Gospel, chapter 20. I'd just like to take us there quickly. Early on the very first day of the week, Sunday, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Wow. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples one Jesus loved, that's John, said they have taken the Lord out of the tomb. And we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running. Can you just imagine these guys running as fast as their legs could carry them? But the other disciples outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in and lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived, went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciples who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw, notice this in verse 8, he saw and believed. He saw and believed. He saw and believed. Oh, hallelujah. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their home. Verse 11. But Mary stood beside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked their woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But he did not realize it was. Woman said, why are you crying? The seas. Hallelujah. Jesus sees and Jesus hears. I'll take it right off. You. Ah, I feel better now. Jesus sees and Jesus hears. Why are you crying? He's speaking. Why are you afraid? Why are you fearful? Because this Jesus sees, hears, and he sees. Hallelujah. He's not a God who is so far removed from you and I today. He sees, he hears, he speaks even today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. Why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Oh, wow. Who is it that you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to him, Mary! He said, Mary. Oh, I thank God that he knows my name. I thank God that he knows my name. You see, when he hung there on that cross over 2,000 years ago, there's a song that we sing these days. You were on his mind. When he was in pain, guess who he was thinking of? You and me. Oh, that should comfort. I know it has comforted me over the years. that he had you and me in mind. See, theologically, the greatest exchange took place on the cross on that first Easter Friday. One great joy listening time to time, great scholar, Dr. Derek Prince said, you know, there was a divine exchange that took place on that first Easter. The divine exchange. He had you. He says, you know, when you think about the cross, remember that there is also the pain, the suffering, and the evil and the ugliness of the gospel, of the cross. But don't forget that despite the evil, the pain, the ugliness of the cross, there is also the beauty of the cross. There is also the magnificence of the cross, the message of the cross of Jesus. Glory of the cross of Jesus. So on one hand, you have the suffering. On the other hand, you have the glory. Hallelujah. You can't have one and not the other in the Christian faith. If you have been told these days that it's smooth sailing for you as a believer, don't believe it, because it's never a smooth sailing. But know this, that in the midst of that pain, he had you on his mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus called her by name, Mary. He turned to him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet turned to the Father. Now here's the thing. Here's the message. Here's one of the foundational messages of the Christian faith. Instead, he said to her, go to my I am returning to my Father and your Father. Hallelujah. I am returning to my Father and your Father. So right from the beginning, Jesus introduced God as Father. God as Papa. Hallelujah. I love that image because I am a Papa. I am a father of five, and I am a father of many, like Abraham in the faith. The earlier years, my wife and my children grew up here in me, addressed as Father Abraham, who has many sons. You know, there's a little songs that we used to sing in Sunday school. Father Abraham has many sons. Well, I happen to be a modern Father Abraham too, you see. I have many sons and daughters in the Spirit. There's some of you sitting right here this morning. Hallelujah. Hey, Pastor Pepe. Woo! Hallelujah. Sorry, I'm not speaking Francais. Okay. Hallelujah. Only know, je m'appelle Manuel. Parle français. That's for my son, Pastor Pepe, this morning. Hallelujah. Aye, let's just stir him up a little bit more. Aye. Hallelujah. But God introduced himself as the Father. Jesus in person introduces God as the Father. I'm going to my Father and your Father. Hallelujah. A divine exchange. Woo! Hallelujah. That's why I'm so fired up in my heart this morning. Because I have a living relationship with Father. Whoa! I have a living relationship with my Heavenly Father. My goodness, that's not simple message. That's not a message for you to just discard and so on. I love this. I can walk around and talk now, hey. But I have a Father. You have a Father. There is the divine exchange. God exchanged all the filth and pain and evil that belongs to me, belongs to you. God exchanged that in that moment of time and placed it on Jesus. In that moment of time, he placed it on Jesus. Why? Because he's a Father. Ah, I know something about what it means. And this is what I want you to understand. The goodness of God is the fact that here is the Father who has made himself known to you and I. And he comes, he says, I am your Papa. Because before that, humankind was trying to find their way back into a divine favor. All the other major religions of our world today have this one track, and that is man trying to find his way and do everything good, please God. Other religions, major religions, find their way. Even the Muslim faith, Islam, find their way. But the Christian faith is not like that. The Christian faith is not us finding our way to God. The Christian faith, the message of the first Easter on that first Easter Friday is God making his way to humanity. God became man. Can you imagine that God, the creator of the universe, becomes man? Why? Because of the divine exchange. He took upon your pain, my shame. He took upon our sinfulness. Exchange it on the cross. That's why I want you to see on this first Easter message, the first and most important message, that God is a Father. That's the message he's going to relay to his first disciples. I'm returning to my Father and your Father. To my God and your God. You don't need to look for anything else now. He's made himself known. God has made himself known through the person of Jesus. So what happened, Mary? Went to the disciples and shared with them the message. God the Father. We speak about God the Father loosely in church circles today, but this morning I want to bring it home to your heart. Do you have that relationship to this great God as your Father this morning? Because a father knows compassion. Hallelujah. A father knows love. In spite of what the child does, a good father will still love the child. Hallelujah. in spite of what the child may do, a good father will go out of his way to reach that child. The rest of the gospel story is about showing himself in the person of Jesus. So you don't have to go looking no more. That message is the foundational truth about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's our Father. Because you cannot enter into that relationship with God as a father if you're trying to find your own way towards a good life. There has to be a living, lively relationship as a father or a child. That's how I've seen myself in my Christian walk over the years. That I am a son of God. Hallelujah. I am a child. I have a father. He knows my name. May we sing that song. He knows my name. He sees, hears that. Yes. The God who sees, he's a God. God speaks. Put the second slide for me. Because on that cross that day, there was a man, in fact, two thieves, you know the story, hung by side. There's this one thief that, Master, remember me. Remember me. And what did Jesus say to him? Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Did I not just mention to you earlier that he had you in mind? He had me in mind? In spite of the pain, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the gruesomeness of what took place on the first evening. This could relate to this thief, that today he will be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Today you will be with me. Here is forgiveness. Hallelujah. He offers forgiveness. He offers pardon. He says, no matter what your life looks like, today you're a new man. Hallelujah. Today you're a new creation. Today you enter into a new dimension. I thank God for the salvation message. Hallelujah. This is a simple message, but I want to bring you back to the basics. I thank God for the foundations of the Christian faith and the Christian faith about salvation that's based on forgiveness. There you are. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Forgiveness. Remember, forgiveness opens up a whole new realm for you and I. On this Easter Sunday, I want you to remember that not only is he our Father, but he is the Father who reaches out in compassion and love and who would readily forgive when you confess to him, when you call upon him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you cry out to him, he responds as a father would. In love, in compassion. Hallelujah. We don't know about the name of the guy that was hung there on the tree next to Jesus. And I want to key in on that, because as far as the Father is concerned, it's not about your status in life. Hello? As far as the Father is concerned, it's not about how wealthy you are. Hello, church? As far as the Father is concerned, it's not about how good looking you may be. He was a nameless person that hung there on the cross. All he was referred to was a thief. That was his label, a thief. But I'm grateful for the forgiveness Father offers. That regardless of our past, regardless of what we've done, the Father reaches. And I believe God is speaking to someone here this morning about reaching out and embracing his forgiveness. Because when you know in your heart that you are forgiven, it sets you free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Take me to the first slide, please. Oh, yes. He's the God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. Fast track from Easter, the first Easter. Good Friday, then Saturday, and then Sunday. Fast track, 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, Peter stands out with the rest of the disciples and preached his first sermon. And verse 32, Acts chapter 2. He brings this truth about Christianity. It says, God has raised this Jesus to life. Hallelujah. God has raised this Jesus to life. And then he goes on, he says, and we are all witnesses of this fact. Everyone say fact. It's a true fact. Excuse me. Peter preaches this first sermon on the day of Pentecost, 50 days later. We know the history of the church, where the church came into existence after the day of Pentecost. Then he makes this fiery statement. He says, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. And exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. So what happens here 50 days later after the resurrection of Jesus? The church is brought into existence by the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And you have all these people who've gathered around to see the phenomena that took place in the upper room. The fire that fell, the wind that blew, the coming of the Holy Spirit on that first Pentecost, in terms of the establishment, birth of the church. And Peter gives the people this very foundational truth, the fact that Jesus was raised to life by God the Father. Hallelujah. A simple foundational truth that Jesus was raised to life by God the Father and exalted to the right hand of God, where he now seated and he intercedes for his church. Hallelujah. So, picture with me this morning, after the resurrection of Jesus, 50 days later, the church comes into existence. And Peter's first sermon speaks of Jesus being raised by God the Father. The thing that makes Christianity different from every other religion today is that we have a risen Savior. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. He's alive. We have a risen Savior. And by that very fact alone, when the apostles went out and started moving into the region and started spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter, in fact, regarded this newfound faith that he had in Jesus as a living hope. In 1 Peter, that we have a new and a living hope. And church, this morning, that's the message that we have in terms of the Easter message. God the Father revealed himself through his Son Jesus, made himself known to humankind as the God who is above all gods, himself known to us through the person of Jesus. And thereby having a divine exchange that took God reaches out in forgiveness to a lost humanity. And out of that forgiveness, we are all receivers of that grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have received that grace. John puts it this way in John's Gospel, chapter 1. He said, the Word became flesh. We saw His glory. He lived amongst us, and we saw His glory. This morning, when you think about the first Easter, remember, on that first message of Peter on the day of Pentecost, that God raised this Jesus for life, from death, and raised him to life, and that we have living hope, a living faith, not a dead hope, but a living hope. Hallelujah. So based on that, I want you to go out of here knowing in your hearts that the message of Easter is a message that brings you salvation and hope. Salvation for all that transpired yesterday, all that transpires today, all that will transpire in future. Hope for the future. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for he's the God who sees, he's a God who hears, he's a God who speaks. to stand with me in His presence. I have given you a simple message this morning. Because I know in my own heart this morning that as I waited upon God, I knew in my heart that we are going through a time, a season in church history where there are many are moving away from this message of Christ. Many don't even believe that there is a God who exists. Hello, church. Many don't even believe that anymore. Even for those who may have grown up in church life, some don't even believe. So we have reached a point in history where it's either like the Apostle Peter and the early apostles on that first day of Pentecost when the church came into existence. We stand and recognize that this Jesus who was crucified is alive today. Or the people who don't believe that will go. We are really, in human history, we are at the crossroad. As I've researched, I've looked around, and I am of the conviction that we are really at a crossroad in terms of our Christian convictions. We are at a crossroad. You either believe that there is a God, or you don't believe at all. You may believe other things. You either believe that Jesus is the Son of God or no. You either believe that God raised Him up from the dead. I mean, today, just simply at your fingertips, mobile phone, you can Google and you'll see all kinds of messages that are there. The people who believe, those who don't believe, or people who are skeptical about the Christian faith. Today I have given you something very fundamental, very basic, but so important, your faith and my faith. It's the foundation of our faith built on the fact that Jesus died, Jesus Himself, our sins, and forgave us. Hallelujah! And out of that forgiveness, we can now lift our hands. We can now jump and we can now praise our God. Why? Because we are forgiven. Hallelujah. Forgiveness sets us free. Forgiveness releases you into a greater freedom of expression. Forgiveness releases you to be the person that God has called you and I to be. Someone has on back of their car one time, I was driving behind and I noticed that Christians aren't perfect, but just forgiven. And that's so true. Forgiveness sets us free. And in the divine exchange, God forgave us. God set us free. God set into motion His divine plan for your life and mine through Jesus' death. And through His resurrection. That's why when I read and see documentaries that's put out these days about questioning the foundation of the Christian faith, I smile to myself. Because I know the truth. Hallelujah. I know the foundation of my Christian belief. It's solid rock. It's built on a solid foundation. So don't be moved by what you see and hear through whatever sources that you receive your information. So this message is a very simple message, but I believe it's a very profound message to reaffirm our convictions of our faith in this God who loves us as a Father. And who has forgiven us. And through the resurrection, we have a living hope. Hallelujah. Just as he promised. Today, he will be with you. Bible says to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with God. We have a living hope. Hallelujah. The Christian faith, I believe, and the Christian message is the message of hope. In a hopeless world, that's the kind of message you give out there. And my encouragement to you as I close this message today, Brian, what's our response to the message of Easter? What is your response? Your response, first of all, to give your whole life to Jesus. Give your whole life, not just a portion. But go all out for God. Hallelujah. Because he went all out for you and me. Hallelujah. Second part of that, your response as a believer is to be his witness. Hallelujah. Go wherever God will send you. Just as the early disciples did. Go and be his witness. Acts 1:8 talks about that. You shall receive power and you will be what? My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now it's the reverse role. Now we're at the ends of the earth. And be his witness from the ends of the earth all the way back to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. This morning I want you to rededicate your life. Wholeheartedly say, God, here I am. Here am I. It's a simple message, but it's a profound message. God, here am I. God, here am I. God, I offer my life to you. God, I give my life to you. Not just a portion. Those who are watching online, you do the same as well. God, I give my life to you. In this season of uncertainty that's everywhere, in this season where our faith is being challenged everywhere, I pray this morning that we will reach that place of certainty in our hearts concerning our faith and our belief in God. This morning that you will come again and you will show yourself like you did to Mary Magdalene on that first Easter Sunday morning. Come and show yourself to us. But even if you don't come, help us, Lord, to believe. Because unless you believe, you will not see the glory of God. And this message of hope and salvation and belief in God is a simple message, but it's a message that can transform our whole life. And I pray this morning for your church and your people that we will be your witnesses, like the early disciples. We will take this message of hope and deliverance and forgiveness wherever you will take us, Lord, that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit to be your vessels, to be your mouthpiece as Peter was and the other apostles did. I pray this morning that our faith will be ignited today to know that God the Father loves me no matter what. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Thank you, Jesus. I pray this morning for that sense of assurance that only your Holy Spirit can bring to bear in our hearts, knowing that we are child of the living God. We are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus. Because he lives, I can face.